Hey friends, welcome to the Thrive Like a Parent podcast. You know those parents who look like they've got it all together? Yep, that's not me. I'm Dr. Brooke Weinstein, mom, widow, and neuroscience expert on all things sensory and emotional regulation. Yep, that's right. I'm here to get down and dirty on the truth behind parenting, education, burnout, neuroscience, widowhood, and the shit show we call life. So come join me for conversations with thought leaders, doctors, and women just like you who aren't afraid to speak the truth and help you find that silver lining between the to-do lists, shit shows, and chaos of parenthood. If you are craving the answers to finally find that sweet spot between chaos and calm, pull up a seat and listen in as I take you from burnt out and surviving to finally thriving. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Thrive Like a Parent podcast. Today, I am going to be talking about when you are triggered by mess, because so many are, and it is such a point of contention within the household. And, you know, I want to preface this by saying that I talk about low registration and not regulating or not recognizing all the clutter around us. I am not going to focus on that as much today, okay? A lot of times I go back and forth. Today is just simply for those of you who are so triggered by all the mess. Now, I got to tell you, as I was prepping for this, and you know I usually give you a personal story, I was literally triggered by all the mess last night because there was stuff everywhere. Eli has been home for a week or so after his tonsil surgery. And I can't tell you how much, like I'm laughing because I feel guilty that I'm admitting this, but like, I can't tell you what a clean floor does for me emotionally and mentally, how satisfying it is to see a clean house. Now, what I've done in my house in particular is my kids' rooms are upstairs. They've got the playroom. That is their, like, keep the toys up there. And downstairs is the family area. And so mom gets to decide what that looks like. But it's A, of course, not always like that. And B, for me, I am for sure one of those where mess is absolutely triggering to my nervous system. Now, I'm going to go in today into why it's triggering for your nervous system. And of course, some tips and tricks on how to support this. It's almost like you snap. It's almost like, right? Because a trigger is sometimes from that amygdala state. And so we snap. And I'm going to help you understand what we can do about this, because there are, crazy enough, there are things that you can do about this. So if you ever feel overwhelmed by the slight clutter or mess in your house and you've walked in the door only to feel overloaded by scattered papers or unwashed dishes and clothes and disarray. Maybe you've even had arguments because it bothers you more than it bothers your partner or your spouse, right? I want you to know, most importantly, you are not alone, right? Many people discuss how a messy house can trigger feelings of stress and anxiety. And so I want to talk about with you, like, why does clutter and chaos make some of us feel so overwhelmed? And I'm going to give you a little bit of research to help you understand that this is for sure part of your brain. This is for sure not just something that is like an annoyance or, you know, when people are like, I'm just OCD. Maybe you're not. Like, maybe you're not just OCD. Maybe it is helping your brain feel satiated, helping your brain feel calm and peaceful, right? And that is so, so important to feel. So in 2011, neuroscience researchers actually used fMRI, which is functional magnetic resonance imaging, rather than just an MRI, right? And other psychological measures, and they found that clearing clutter from the home and work environment resulted in a better ability to focus, process information, as well as increase productivity, When my house is clean and there is no clutter, I have a peaceful mind. And I'll give you a tip right now. One of the things I have done is I knew I wanted a peaceful space in my bedroom. And when I transitioned all of my old furniture out of my room from my partnership with Jonathan, I knew I needed a fresh start. And I talked a lot with Jenny about this. And she knew that I wanted a space that almost felt like a spa, that almost felt like serene. And when people walk in there and they've seen it, they're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm in a spa. And I'm like, well, that's what we wanted it to feel like. And one of the things that I have really honed in on is, you know, during COVID, like I utilized every single room in this house and we like did it up like big time because it was just the three of us. And I have transitioned that space into not being a space where me and the kids just plop and lay. And, you know, even during COVID, that was where we had the TV. We didn't have it in the living room. And that was so that we could have like movie nights. Trust me, I've moved furniture crazy enough, more than you can imagine in this home. But I've really made that space my sanctuary. And so I'm going to hop into one simple tip, which is make a space, whether it's your bedroom or maybe your home office, or maybe you have a little tiny corner or a nook or something. Make a space in your home, your like Hail Mary, if you will, right? I have a bench in my bedroom and I have made sure not to utilize that bench as like a throw and go. Because when I was growing up, if my mother was on this right now, she'd be like, oh yeah, let me tell you. But when I was growing up, I would make piles like no other. And my mom would be like, you've got to do this before you leave. You've got to do this before you leave. And I literally, my argument to my mom was, don't you just want to live life? Like there is so much more to life than a clean house. And I grew up in a house where it like literally everything was in its place and everything was in its place like 24/7. And I don't know how my mom did it. And it was like my bed was like, and my bedroom was like a beautiful bedroom, but the sheets were kind of itchy. But my mom was also an interior designer. So like she didn't really care because it just looked beautiful, right? So I grew up in a really beautiful, clean home. And I for sure had times in my life where I would just throw and go. And that's kind of what I'm talking about also is like the low registration piece that we're clearly not going to talk about today of like, it didn't bother me at that time in my life. And there's been certain times where it still doesn't bother me in my life. And I can recognize that I'm a little bit heightened in those moments. Now, the other caveat to that is a lot of times the clutter drives us crazy when we are heightened, okay? We feel a sense of out of control or lack of control. And when you have a three-year-old and a two-year-old, they have no idea how to support your nervous system in terms of clutter. They don't understand. So all of the toys, right? Like not everyone has, you know, a downstairs den like I do, and then a little loft area outside of my kids' room. That's a bonus room. That's a playroom. I used to have a house that was all in one. And so I had a piece of furniture where I would shove it all in this piece of furniture, all the toys. But of course, birthday parties happen and Hanukkah, and it just started like it literally grew like the stuff grew, you know? It's like those stack of papers that your child comes home with and they're like, look at my work, mommy. And you're like, oh yeah. And then like the next day you turn around and it's like, I don't need their math sheet, right? I keep the beautiful artwork, but I don't need all of this. So like, I'm going to pitch it when they're not looking, right? Like it just begins to get so, so, so overwhelming, and it can, right? So mess makes us anxious, right? Mess makes us really irritable. Mess can make us snap. Mess can increase our heightened state into that slight, like I'm going to call it low tone fight or flight. And it can really put us in such a mood that we get even resentful and angry at our partners. And maybe one, like I said earlier, one of us does it and one of us doesn't. And that is where we fall into the trap of feeling disconnection from our partner, right? And so there are things that we can do to support the entire family. And I'm going to share those with you in a few minutes to make sure that we're getting what we need individually to feel that peace and calm. The state of cleanliness for some brains helps you feel like you have structure, stability, and control, which I always talk about, but that helps you feel like you have that within your life and within your brain. And when you do have that, we are able to then be more productive, be in the creative brain mode, be able to really push ourselves to be more productive and enjoy our life a little bit more, right? So why does mess leave us so stressed? Okay, I'm going to talk to you about 8 different ideas and you might be like, oh yeah, that's me. So clutter bombards our minds with excess stimuli. Okay, so think of it visually. That's like the number one. Okay, that's why we're getting triggered. Yeah, maybe there's more smell in the house or maybe there's dirt on the floor, right? And it causes our senses to work overtime on stimuli that aren't necessarily important, okay? That's number one. Number two is clutter distracts us by drawing our attention away from what our focus should be on. So our eyes are trying and our senses are trying to deal with so much that's going on within our world that we can't really focus on the necessary thing or even be present with our children. Or if there's like Legos, like my playroom is often, there is literally Legos over the entire surface area. And it is like, whoa, a bomb went off in here. And it might be hard for someone like me who now really values that peace and calm to go and play with my kiddos up there. Number three, clutter makes it more difficult to relax, just like I was explaining, both physically and mentally, right? If you're in a state of more tension, this clutter can really increase that, okay? Now, number four is clutter constantly signals your brain that your work is never done, okay? So for instance, this weekend, we did a lot of cooking rather than eating out. So I had to do dishes. I had to put away the dishes. Then there were more dishes piled up in the sink. And then it's like a never-ending thing. But, you know, especially like I said, we used every single room during COVID. The one thing I needed at the end of the night was a clean counter in the kitchen. Like, it didn't really matter what else was going on. There was like no freaking way that I was going to get this entire house clean by myself, just the three of us. But if just the counter was clean, that surface was clean, my mind could go at ease and I could relax and go to bed. And to be honest with you, it makes it even hard to go to bed when you are surrounded by clutter. Like neurologically and scientifically, and there's been research that shows that it is really hard to even settle in and go to bed when you're in a cluttered state. Now, number five is clutter makes us anxious because we're never sure what it's going to take to get through to the bottom of the pile, right? It's like it creates this anxiety of like, oh my gosh, when will this ever end? Oh my gosh, when will this go away? Like, oh my gosh, this is never going to be cleared out, okay? Number six is clutter creates feelings of guilt. I should be more organized and I'm embarrassed, especially when others unexpectedly drop by my house or home or workspace, right? Because we think, well, you know, for me, it was like, well, if my mom can do it, why can't I? Well, my mom luckily was a stay-at-home mom and my dad was the primary breadwinner. I am a solo parent with two rambunctious little boys and I'm on my own, right? So like I have to release that and give myself some grace. And that's the work we will do in a little bit and I'll talk to you about it. Now, number seven is clutter inhibits creativity and productivity by invading the open spaces that allow most people to think, brainstorm, and problem solve. That's what I was explaining to you of like that peaceful state of like your creative brain being turned online, okay? And last but not least, clutter frustrates us or you by preventing us from locating what we need quickly, right? Like, darn it, where is that thing, right? Maybe there's a piece of paper you're looking for and you can't find it because it's swallowed underneath all of the clutter, right? I want to also say that mess doesn't define whether you are a good or bad human. And at times it may even crazy enough, like the chaos may even stimulate some slight creativity, right? That's that release of energy and that flow. And the problem that we need to really discuss before stepping into, okay, like, yeah, that's all me, but like, how do I go about fixing this? The thing that we really need to make sure is that we aren't focusing on clutter as a means of if we are, like I just said, a bad or good person. We can feel and crave the need for cleanliness, but make sure that that perfectionism itself is not kind of creeping in, right? Because perfectionism itself is associated with feelings of overwhelm and anxiety and poor mental health. So I really want you to take a look at, okay, is that clutter, all the eight things I just said, is the clutter causing those things for me? Or is this part of my perfectionism and need for that perfect clean house? I just went through an example for you of like, I know why my mom's house was able to look the way it did growing up. I very much know that, but I have had to release that. I've had to release, okay, I'm a solo parent. Like I can only do what I can do and like good is good enough. And that's why I've given you that tip, right? Of find a space, find like a Hail Mary. I don't care if it's your closet. You're probably like, ha, that's funny. Closets are a mess, right? I don't care if it's a toilet room. Like I don't care if it's a shower. Like go find a space where you can literally relax and release your shoulders. I can't tell you how many times I have said this with my clients when we're talking and talking, and then at the end of a session, they, or maybe even a voice message, and they do this huge exhale. I'm like, that's it right there. That's what I want. That's what I was looking for. And we need to find a space like that for you. Now, let's go into the steps that you can take to support your brain into more peace and calm, right, within the clutter, or helping the rest of your family understand how important having peace and calm and organization is, like how it's so important to you, okay? And yes, I know I said I wasn't going to go back and forth between low registration, but if you are a person that loves cleanliness and your partner could give two shits about it, they might have low registration. Okay. And if they have low registration, that means that they don't care as much. But if we are able to recognize, I know why my partner, like me when I was younger, like if my mom understood, okay, Brooke is having some low registration here. I understand why this is not a priority for her. I understand why she doesn't even visually see the clutter. Then my mom could have either done a few things. A, helped bring the awareness to my brain so that I could start learning, or B, she could have more compassion, which my mom wasn't terrible. I'm just explaining like when we have the awareness, when we have the education, it's half the battle. It is literally half the battle. Now, if you need a cleanly space, what I recommend to you is starting this from a very early age with your children. Now, the problem with this is that you are probably exhausted and you probably don't have any more on your plate to fight with your children to pick up after themselves. Trust me, I get it. Like I get it more than you know. When Charlie was, I don't know, one or two, like literally every night we would do it. It was a ritual, if you will. Like we would clean up every single night and we would sing the song, clean up, everybody, everywhere, clean up, now it's time to do your share. You can steal that if you'd like. Thank you very much. I'm pretty sure like a ton of preschools use that. But anyway, that's what I learned in OT school. And so that's what I used. And we would literally sing that over and over. Now, if you're listening and you're like, yeah, great job. Like you're telling me to teach my child how to clean. They're not going to do it. They'll sit there and have a tantrum. Guess what I used to do? I would do hand over hand and I would literally sing the song and be like, yay, and give them tons and tons and tons of praise. Like we're doing it. Great job. Charlie jumped on the bandwagon. He could clean up. He was like, okay, mom, whatever you want me to do. Eli, not so much. He was like, uh-uh, like this isn't fun. I don't want to do this. And so I had to do hand over hand with Eli to really, especially as a young kid, to teach him that this is what we do. Okay. Now fast forward to, let's say, the catastrophic, traumatic phase of my life of COVID plus separating from Jonathan, plus then Jonathan's passing. I don't think that I had as much capacity, and I know I didn't have as much capacity to stay on top of that. And so we did what we could, and I released the rest. Now, that is the second thing I'm going to recommend to you, is releasing some of it, okay? And just because I've explained to you, yes, clutter annoys me or frustrates me or overwhelms me too, I have been able to talk to myself. And this is where the self-work comes in of really, okay, how does it feel? Like, how does the clutter feel right now? I feel really stressed out. Like, I don't love this, but do I feel like doing the dishes right now? Nope. I'm exhausted. I need to go lay down. And my feelings always trumped doing more. My feelings and my emotional state always, always, always trumps trying to keep a clean house. There have been so many clients who I've spoken with over the years who say they get so, so anxious when their parents or in-laws come in town and they, you know, make sure they buy the new towels, or they're like, I don't know why, I just get so anxious when they're coming. That is because we want them to love staying with us. That is because we want to show them, like, look, I'm a functioning adult, right? Our parents have put so much effort and love and work into us that it's our turn to feel like we have accomplished, right, our life. And we have made some accomplishing goals within our life of, yeah, I can keep this household together. Like, I can actually do this just like you. I will never forget that my mom used to, especially in New Orleans, she would come over and be like, hey, Brooke, like that light, did you know that light was out? And I would get so defensive. Like, it was before I did any work on myself. I would get so, so defensive. And I was like, I need you to stop telling me what's wrong with my house. Like, I need you to just let it go. And she was like, okay. Like, I thought I was just helping. And that's all she was doing. One time she came here in the thick of it, and she was like, Brooke, this towel's kind of, I think we need to get you new towels. And I was like, okay, well, like, wash it, or like, just like, order another towel. Like, okay, because I didn't have the capacity to do that at the time, right? And so when I was even defensive, probably in New Orleans, and my mom would just say, hey, da-da-da-da-da, I had to release it. I had to release it. And so that's why I got the, okay, great. Like, should we just wash the towel? Or like, do you want to get a new one? Or like, what do we need to do? I want you to get to the place where you can release a little bit of that perfectionism of, if my house is not perfect and tidy for my guests or for my loved ones, that does not make you a bad person. That does not make you broken. That does not mean that you are not doing a good job. And if your family turns their nose up or gives you the stink eye or is like, right? Like, it is okay to just simply be like, that's where I'm at. Like, that's all I can do. I am doing a great job. I am doing enough. And for today, like, this is enough. So releasing some of that perfectionism, releasing some of that energy of needing everything to be clean and tidy and all of the time. Now, the third one I'm going to give you is actually for older kids, if you will. I've kind of given you an example of what to do when your kids are younger to start those routines now. But if you're like, great, I miss my shot, like my kids are 8 and 10, right? Like, what help me? Like, what do I do now? I want you to know that you are not responsible for all the responsibilities in your home. I might have to repeat that. You are not responsible for all the responsibilities in your home. It is okay to place responsibility on your children. It doesn't mean that you're mean. It doesn't mean that you're a drill sergeant. It doesn't mean that you can't hack it. Like, our job is to help support our children. Our job is to help teach our children. Oftentimes, we can sometimes think that our job is to make their life as easy as possible. But is that setting them up for success in the future, right? And so there has been hard moments in my life where I am exhausted. I don't have it in me to be like, okay, kids, let's, like, come on, let's do this. There was plenty, I'm not kidding, like months, maybe even years, where I was like, it is what it is. And I reached out to support and did what I needed to do. I couldn't put any more on my plate to help level my children up in that way. And so if you're not in that space, like, know that and accept it and own it. But when you have the energy, I like to call this showing up to the party. Like either show up or stay home and like get in your pajamas and like curl up in bed, right? Because this is going to take some effort. Our children aren't going to know just because you've said one time, hey, we're not going to take our socks off like every single day and like throw them around. Like I'm not, like we're not, I don't really feel like finding socks out in, you know, the backyard and underneath the couch and in between the couch cushions and, you know, one sock here, one sock, like our socks go in the dirty clothes. Okay. Like peace. Thanks. You know what I mean? Like that's not going to take one time of telling our children. It's going to take some repetition. And so what I like to explain to parents is if you have a new boundary, show up to the party, set that boundary and remain consistent and do not bite off more than you can chew. I want you to focus on one thing at a time. So I'll give you an example. We used to just like take our jackets off and like throw them on the couch. And I was like, all right, we're going back out or like whatever it is, right? Now my children are old enough that I've started teaching them our jackets go in the jacket closet. And they are very capable of putting them on the hanger, right? Or our baseball backpacks, right? Like our cleats stay in the garage and we have hooks for the backpacks and like then we know where they are, right? And it can be something as little as taking your backpack out of the car or taking all the things you brought in the car, taking it out on your way out rather than just like letting your car be a dumpster pile. Mine surely has been that in the past. No joke. But I want you to focus on one thing at a time. So let's say it is, I don't know, the jackets everywhere, okay? Or like putting dishes in the sink. Let's say it doesn't have to be in the dishwasher. Like, let's just start with the sink, like clearing our plate and putting in the sink. That's the one thing we're going to focus on. We're not going to like rip our family to shreds of like, you're not putting your coat away and your crap is all over the floor and you're not putting the dishes in the sink. And like, we may have a triggered meltdown over here as a parent, but that's too much for our children to bite off. Okay. So we're going to focus on one thing. And the way that you decide what's the one thing that you want to focus on is the thing that irritates you the most. And that within my soul is like, okay, I know it's time to level up. Like, I know it's time to focus on this because I don't want to do it anymore. And I know they're capable of it. And this is the one thing that's irritating me. And little by little, you will chip away to the point where they're 18 and ready to move on with their successful lives, right? Like it will literally be until they're 18, but you can do it little by little by little. And very slowly, you will see the backpacks start to be on the hooks and you will see the plates start to be placed in the sink or the dishwasher, right? It becomes automatic. That is what I've discussed with you about every boundary that you set. We have to train the brain for it to become automatic so that they then have more space to learn other things. But everything that we teach them, hey, put your shoes over here, or our dirty clothes goes in the basket, or it's time to learn how to put our clothes away. Mommy folded them for you. That's the one we're doing right now. So we fold clothes and then the basket goes upstairs and they have to put it in their drawers by the end of the evening before they go to bed. And so that's the one thing we're working on right now. And it is okay to do this step by step by step. And so as we kind of close this out, I want to recap a little bit for you to help you know once more that clutter and that overwhelming cognitive overload is so, so normal, right? When you're surrounded by distractions, your brain is essentially becoming a battleground for attention and everything competes for our focus, right? The brain, as it turns off, really prefers order and single tasking over multitasking. I know the world requires us to multitask, but the brain really prefers single tasking. And order really helps reduce that competition of our attention and reduces that mental load. And while some people might be a little bit better than others at ignoring all those distractions, which is that low registration. That's a positive of low registration. Distractible environments can overload your cognitive abilities, capabilities, and even memory. But not all mess is a problem. And the reason I'm saying that and reminding you of that is because of that perfectionism, right? Because if that doesn't look that messy to you and you've had it like that for months, but your family's coming in town and you're like, ah, right? That means that it's not that important to you and it is okay to release some of this. And so what are we going to do in those moments? Like I explained, we're going to take a deep breath. We're going to release our shoulders, ask ourselves how we feel. And if we don't feel like cleaning up the clutter, we're not going to clean up the clutter. We're just going to recognize that it's there, but we're also going to recognize that we need something more, which may mean rest. And lastly, I know I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again. The cleanliness of your space, the cleanliness of your house does not equate to your worth, does not equate to how great of a job you are doing. It does not. Do some require or need more organization than others? You bet. I got to tell you one last example. My dad knew where everything was on his desk at work. Everything. And if anyone came in and organized his desk and put the papers in a pile or a stack, he would be so upset because he then was like, I have no idea where any of my shit is. And so that's an example of some have more creativity and some work better in environments like that. And especially if you have a partner like that, understanding that is key. But cleanliness and organization and the way you keep your home does not equate to your worth. My dad is a wonderful entrepreneur who has been very successful in his life. And he did it with a really, really, really unorganized desk. And that's just the way he functions. And that's okay. So I hope this was helpful. I would love nothing more than to hear your thoughts in the reviews. If you could give us a rating and let us know what you're liking about this podcast. And you can also DM me with any private comments that you want to tell me about, or maybe anything you want me to talk about on here. I would love that so much. And until next time, thank you so much for being here. XOXO, Dr. B.